Hey, it's Daryl C. Murphy, and I just want to talk to you real quick. The Common is produced at WBUR in Boston. We're public media. We don't have paywalls, which means we don't ask you to pay to see our work. We say, here's some powerful stories for free. And then, if some of those stories you read or listen to are important to you, and you talk about it with your friends and family, and you even see the world a little differently, then we ask you to support it, because we want to continue making work that is meaningful to you. And right now, I want to let you know what's happening at WBUR. Our radio shows, our podcasts are getting some of the biggest audiences we've ever had. Our journalism is winning awards, reaching new and more diverse audiences. And you are a big part of that. Our journalism has never been stronger, but the business has never been harder. We've had a big loss of sponsorship dollars, like a lot of media companies have in recent years. But one thing we've always been pretty good at is getting support from our listeners to make the things they love. So we're asking right now, in a crucial moment for WBUR, can you help us get through this by joining other listeners in supporting WBUR? We need your help to keep making the podcast you're listening to right now, along with everything else that comes from WBUR. Your help would mean a lot to me and to all of my colleagues. So please, head to our website, WBUR.org. Thanks.
WBUR Podcasts, Boston.
I'm Daryl C. Murphy, and you're listening to The Common. Irene Lee, co-founder of Mei Mei Dumplings and James Beard Leadership Award winner, thank you so much for being with us again. How's it going?
It's going great, Daryl. Thanks for having me.
All right, let's jump right in. Last month, you moderated an event at WBUR City Space with local celebrity chef Ming Tsai. A lot of insensitive things were said that night, but it seemed to slide under the radar until earlier this week, you posted a video montage of some of those statements to your Instagram. To say the least, it has caused quite a stir, especially this particular moment.
Did you roofie me?
You should have. I roofied you.
That was just one of the insensitive comments he made, but one that kind of sets the table for the discussion we'd like to have today. Because there's a moment that stood out to me during that interview. And it's when you asked Ming a question about the Me Too movement in our restaurant scene.
Do you think that Boston will have a Me Too moment in the restaurant industry?
Have we not? Have we not been talking about it enough? I mean, are you saying there's going to be another gigantic fiasco?
Yeah, or even anyone held accountable for anything.
Yeah, I mean, I hope every day, right? I mean,
yeah.
I can proudly say all my chef buddies around the country, none of us are like that. It's like social media. The bad boys get the press, right? So it's not the whole industry is a bunch of SOBs.
That was part of Ming's answer. For folks who, you know, want to hear more, they can head over to City Space's YouTube channel to see the whole event. And we should say that Ming has since apologized for some of the comments he made during the event. And, you know, me personally, Irene, I gotta say, I watched the whole thing, and you are a trooper.
Thank you, Daryl.
For sure. Now, Irene, a while ago, we visited you at your cafe and dumpling factory, Mei Mei. And during that visit, we talked a little bit about accountability in the restaurant industry. And I think this interaction between you and Ming Tsai serves as a good entry point to start a larger conversation about the state of Boston's restaurant scene, where you both work, right? That includes how folks treat one another and why it's so hard to share challenging stories from within this space. Of course, you, Irene, are just one perspective, so I just want to take a quick moment and tell folks listening, if you have thoughts or a story to share, we want to add your perspective to Irene's. Stay tuned. we'll let you know how you can get in touch with us. But first, Irene, can you tell me a little bit about why you decided to share the video on Instagram?
Yeah, well, you know, it took me a couple weeks to decide how I wanted to handle it, if I wanted to say anything at all. I know that there are so many people in the industry who have suffered different kinds of abuse. And, you know, culturally, we're not that great at believing victims. And most of these people, they don't have anything on tape. They don't have anything on camera. And that's part of what makes coming forward so hard. And while, you know, I don't think that Ming committed any sort of criminal offense against me, I did feel like, okay, well, we have this on camera and maybe we can start a conversation about it. And I have lots of people in my DMs saying, thank you for sharing this because we need to start practicing accountability. And, you know, I think that Ming's apology is an example of what accountability could look like. But I don't know. I just, there's so many people who have been hurt in this industry. And I want to try to create a safe space or a pathway or be an ally to people who do want to tell the stories about what they've endured.
Mm. Have you ever worked in a toxic kitchen?
No, I haven't. I only worked in one other restaurant before Maymay. And so I think an important piece of this is that these aren't my stories to tell, but I wanted to try to model what it looks like to put yourself out there. And I recognize that I have a lot of privilege in this situation, and that's why I'm able to get into it with folks on the internet. But really, I feel like in Boston, we have some, quote, open secrets about, like, who's a good guy and who's not. And everyone who works in the industry has their opinions about people. But none of that ever makes the public discourse, really.
Now, you mentioned some of these open secrets. Let's take a listen to Boston chef Tiffany Faison during another City Space event hosted by Radio Boston's Tiziana Dearing.
So interesting in all of the, like, cultural reckoning and the Me Too movement, we have not had one chef go down in Boston. Because we're perfect?
Should we have a chef go down in Boston?
Absolutely.
Do you want to say anything
Multiple,
more about that?
Absolutely not. Yeah, it's not that we don't have those issues culturally. I will say this, there are still people operating that would shock you. There are chefs that you know and love that have created, built, supported, and live in cultures of abuse in the city.
Why do you think it's so hard to get a conversation started about these issues in the Boston restaurant scene?
I think there are a lot of reasons, Daryl. I mean, the first is that I think that people who have experienced abuse and mistreatment have worked probably really hard to put it behind them. Many people have left the industry because of what they've experienced. I don't blame anyone for not wanting to wade back into this space that was so toxic for them. I think in addition to that, you know, Boston's a small city and chefs talk. And there is certainly a fear among some folks that if I say something, I'm not going to be able to get a job. And then on top of that, I mean, I don't think that publicly, like, we as a society are very kind to people who want to step forward. Even if they're not trying to cancel anyone, even if they just want to tell their story, even if they just want an apology. And so, like, who wants to put themselves in that position? And so I think those are all pieces of why we don't have this conversation more.
Can you discuss how somebody could lose an opportunity? Is it like, if I say something to my manager knows this chef and that chef and this chef, and when I leave this restaurant, they're just going to blackball me or something like that, you know?
For sure. Yeah. I think that people don't have the security financially. Almost half of the country's minimum wage workers work in restaurants. And so many folks live paycheck to paycheck. And yeah, it is all about relationships. And Massachusetts is a state with at-will employment. And people can get let go for any number of reasons. I think a lot of employees who might have been wrongfully terminated would have a hard time proving that it was because they spoke out in some way. And then on top of that, all of us in Boston, the chefs, the restaurant owners, we play really nice with each other. And again, it's like these open secrets, but If workers see us like hanging out buddy buddy, like there's nothing wrong, then they're going to assume that none of us is a safe person to speak with. And for the chefs who are really like public figures who are on TV, I think that's heightened even more.
That's real. So in a sense, you see all of that and you feel like you're forced to play the game.
100%. And I think there's also the dynamic of the public wanting a perfect victim.
Yep.
And like,
yep.
I can tell you, all of us who work in restaurants are not perfect. I've had people who've told me I've done messed up things too, so I can't say anything. And like, wow, does the conversation really have to end there?
We're going to take a quick break, but we'll be right back.
A gruesome scandal at the nation's most prestigious university shines a light on a macabre and lucrative world of buying and selling human remains.
Human body parts taken by a manager at the Harvard Medical School morgue and then sold to customers online.
So my first skull is right there on the top shelf. That's my first and my favorite.
I'm reporter Allie Jarmani, and this story raises some tough questions. How should we treat the dead? And who gets to decide?
There should be some middle ground where we treat deceased tissues differently than we treat old refrigerators.
This is Postmortem, the Stolen Bodies of Harvard, a new season of WBUR's Last Scene. Listen and follow Last Scene wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. When we talk about reevaluating the culture of Boston kitchens, what do you think should be the goal?
I do think that we're already starting to turn the corner on having better kitchen environments in a lot of places. Mm-hmm. So I think that's very positive. And it might be that the only thing we as a community can do is just move forward better.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that there's any justice for people who have been harmed in the past, but I would like for us to live without this stuff over our heads because it reflects poorly on all of us. For me, this is about the industry at large. It's not about any one victim or survivor. It's certainly not about me, but I want this industry to be strong and vibrant and diverse and equitable and honest.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's how we end up with the best possible food and dining experiences for everyone.
What can we as a community here in Boston do better to get us to a place where these kitchens are less toxic or not toxic at all, right? I love going to restaurants. We're all a part of this restaurant culture. So what can we do to help push the needle and make progress in this regard?
Thank you for asking, Daryl. It's tough. I think one thing I would definitely say is we need to keep putting power and agency in the hands of workers. So if you have friends who work in restaurants, you know, ask them if there's stuff they want to share with you. If you see an article about chefs or about something that's going on, write to the journalist and ask them if they talk to any workers. Mm-hmm. And I guess on top of that, I would ask people to keep an open mind about the difference between canceling someone and asking for accountability. I think that many of us don't even know what accountability looks like.
Mm-hmm.
We've not seen it modeled because we have lots of systems in place that don't really allow for that.
Irene, what would you like to see happen next?
Oh, that's such a tough question, Daryl, because again, it's not up to me to tell anyone else's story. And I think that for us as chefs, the first step is being honest with each other.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that whispering, we can do better than that. And I would like to hear more chefs being supportive of workers' stories. I would like us to say as an industry that we are not going to blackball or blacklist people who have spoken out. I think there are a lot of next steps we can take, and it really depends where we're really sitting in this power dynamic, in this ecosystem. And so I think we all have our own job to do.
And listeners, like I mentioned earlier, we want to keep this conversation going, but we cannot do this without your help. If you have experience working in the Boston restaurant scene, and have a story or you have thoughts on this episode, we want to hear from you. It doesn't matter if you're a chef, a server, a dishwasher, a busser. We want to talk to you. So you can reach us on Instagram, Twitter, or TikTok at WBURTheCommon or by email at thecommon@wbur.org.
And Daryl, I would ask, for those of us who might be thinking about calling in with a story, could you share what that road might look like for them?
What that would look like is we're going to hear you out. You don't have to go on record with anything you don't want to. But if you do, we would do our due diligence to verify everything you're saying. We have to be very careful about how we put that information out. Yeah, and we might ask you a lot of questions and ask you to repeat stuff to make sure we got it right because we want to get it right. It's not an easy process for everybody, but it is a necessary one to get us to where we all need to be.
Thank you, Daryl. And I would encourage folks listening, I personally, Irene Lee of Maymay, I'm here to support during what can be an even more challenging time than enduring whatever you endured in the first place. But really encourage people to take control of their story and to utilize the Commons' help in doing it.
Well, Irene, thank you so very much for taking the time to talk to us about this very important topic.
Thank you so much, Daryl. Great to be with you.
That's Maymay Dumplings co-founder and 2022 James Beard Leadership Award winner, Irene Lee. And that's our show for today. Thanks so much for listening to The Common. I'm Daryl C. Murphy, and I'll talk to you tomorrow.